Lord's Day. Doug, if you don't mind, I'm going to clear off this podium here so I can put my stuff on it. It's great to see everyone here this morning. I hope everything works that I have planned for us today, and I hope we have a good service to God this morning. This morning I want to talk to you about a question and some thoughts that we all faced during our lifetime. And what I want to talk to you about is some tough situations as well. And the question that many people ask during tough situations is, does God care about me? And there are many times in this life that we ask this question, and there are some times where it seems like we don't know where God was. And many times we face times in our life that it just seems we're just worried to death. It's the scared of being uncertain about what's going to happen. And I pose this to you this morning and I want to speak to you about this subject because all of us will face this time in our lives. And it'll be a very trying one. And I hope and pray that we all remember what God tells his people. And we have some encouraging words to go through today as well. This question arises out of certain things, out of frustration, anger, confusion, sadness, and even unexpectedness. For example, it could be someone loses their best friend. It could be a loss of a child. It could be a job layoff, maybe sickness. Cancer is very common in this country. It could be divorce, abuse, or even abandonment. God, where were you when I needed you the most? Did you really care about me, your faithful servant? We may have known someone who is suffering through this right now, and perhaps maybe someone in this audience, this is happening, and you're asking this question, God, do you really care about me? But you know, this question was asked by many people. As a matter of fact, in Job chapter 23, Job asked a similar question to God. And if you remember the story of Job, it was a very trying time in Job's life. He had lost his family. He had lost his sons and his daughters. He had lost his barns. He had lost his fields. He had lost everything, it seemed like. And Job's wife even had the nerve to tell him, Job, why don't you just curse God and just die? Obviously, Job, God does not remember you. He doesn't care about you. Why don't you just curse God and die? Was his wife's response. And I want to read from you Job chapter 23, verses 8 through 9, and some of the thoughts Job had during this time. It says, verse 8, Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. I go backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Did God care about his servant Job? And does God care about us today? Well, certainly he does. Brethren, I'm here to tell you today that God did care about Job. And we're going to find out later on exactly what happened to Job. And also that God cares about you today, his faithful servant. God does care about you. Did you know that God walks with his people? Many of you can quote Psalms chapter 23. As a matter of fact, this is one of the most quotable passages, one of the most quotable chapters of the whole Bible. And if you remember, some of you can get up here today and say it by memory. Some of our smallest children can say it. But what I want to look at today is one verse in Psalms chapter 23. Because many times we quote this whole passage and don't look directly into the context of what God is telling his people. And David writes in Psalms chapter 23 and verse 4, and I want to read it to you and read exactly what David had to say about it. It says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they will comfort me. If I walk through the shadow of death, what did David say? David said, Thou art with me. God will be with me. God is there wanting to help you, brethren. In the most trying times of our lives, God is there. You may not think it at first, and it may seem like, I don't know what to do because I'm scared to death, but God is there. God walks with his faithful children. His attitude towards his people, and I just wrote a few things down in my mind, was this. God tells you are mine. I will lead you, and I will love you when no one else seems to love you. I will hold you close when fear comes. I will stand when no one else does. I will hold your hand when you're afraid, because you are mine. And I believe firmly that's the attitude God has towards his children, because God said, and God tells us, we are his. Once we put on baptism, once we follow him day to day, we are God's children, and we are guaranteed heaven. This earth might have some trying times in our life, must have some terrible things that go on, but God tells us, heaven will be yours if you stick with me. If you believe what I say, if you are baptized, if you remain faithful until the end, God will be with you, and he will always be there. On the second thought, God hears his people's prayers. And sometimes we seem like we pray to God and something's not going right, and we keep on praying and maybe it doesn't happen exactly the way we want it. And we think, man, God just did not hear what I had to say. And brethren, I'm here to tell you, God works in mysterious ways as well. There's sometimes you may pray for something and God says, yes, no, and maybe later. And that's what happens with Job in his life. But God hears his people's prayers. Psalms chapter 34 and 15 tells us, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. And brethren, it's amazing the power of prayer. It's amazing what prayer can do for us. Each Lord's Day, we mention those who are sick. And you have your bulletin today. You will have on that bulletin a number of people that are sick and that need our prayers. Why do we pray for these people? Because people will say prayer does not work. The atheist will tell you God does not care because God is not here. And he will not hear his people's prayer. But I tell you, the atheists are very wrong, because I've seen living proof of this take place. Numerous times we pray for people in our congregation that need help, that are struggling, that need some sort of pickup in this world. And guess what? We provide that for them, and God provides that for them as well. God hears his people's prayers. And like we said, prayer can do amazing things. Prayer can do amazing things when God's faithful children offers them up to him. As a matter of fact, God shows his care throughout the Bible. And we see in one story I want to look at this morning is the story of Elijah. And if you remember the story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, it was one of the greatest scenes of all time, I believe. One of the greatest scenes for Elijah in his lifetime. What happens here in 1 Kings chapter 18 is Elijah is pitted against the prophets of Baal. This is the showdown of the Old Testament. This is the showdown for Elijah's life. You have on one hand the God of the Bible versus the God of Baal, the false God, the idol God of Baal. And Elijah is standing all alone against the prophets of Baal, and it's amazing what takes place. And God tells these people, I'm going to tell you who the real God of this world is. I'm sick and tired of seeing everyone worship the idol God, which is not right. But you have turned away from God and gone to this idol worship. And Elijah says, I challenge you to showdown on Mount Carmel and see whose God is the best. We're going to prove whose God is real and who is not real. And if you remember the story in chapter 18 in 1 Kings, that both people were to build an altar. Elijah built up an altar for his God, and the prophets of Baal built up one for theirs. And if you remember the prophets of Baal, Elijah told them, you go first. And they cried all day until the evening, Prophet or God of Baal, please bring down fire from the heavens and consume this altar. And they cried all day long and into the evening, and they even cut themselves, hoping that their God would bring down this fire. But brethren, it never took place. And Elijah gets up there and he tells the people, put water upon the altar. I want you to encompass the altar with water, drench it. And remember, a famine was going on during this time. The people were saying, Elijah, what are you doing? We need this water. But Elijah told the people, I want you to drench it with water. And I'm going to show you what my God can do. And remember, Elijah called to God one time. And fire came down from the heaven and consumed that altar and burned it all up. It burnt the water, it burnt the wood, it burnt everything up that was on that altar. There was nothing left of it. And remember, Elijah had proved that the God of the Bible was the right one. And Elijah was on cloud 9. Everything was going his way. He said the people would turn their hearts. the people, he knew the people would come back to God. And he knew he had won a victory for the Lord. And he did. But the attitude of the people was very different, though. We find out later on. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to find out the attitude that the people had. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time." And when he had saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." What had happened here with Elijah? What happens is Elijah sees that Jezebel's going to kill him. And Elijah runs into the wilderness and pleads and says, "What is going on? I just showed these people what had happened, who the true God was, but now they want to kill me." And I can only imagine what was in Elijah's mind. He wanted to die. He said, I just don't understand, Lord. I should die. If the people are not going to turn towards you, why am I here?" is what he's saying. But I want you to notice what God tells Elijah in the next few verses. Elijah wanted to be dead because he was scared to death. He ran away from Jezebel. But God was not going to let his faithful servant go out in the wilderness and just die. He had bigger plans for Elijah. And notice in verse 5 what takes place. And I'm going to read verses 5 through 15 and see exactly what God tells Elijah. "And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, 'Arise and eat.' And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.' And he arose and did eat and drank, and went in the strength of the meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, 'What dost thou here, Elijah?' And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel had forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, 'Go forth and stand on the mount before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a small, still voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, 'What dost thou here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain the prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away.' And the Lord said unto him," verse 15, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria." What had just happened here? What has taken place here, it was Elijah was blinded by fear. Elijah did not remember that God was in control and the power that God had. All Elijah saw was he was about to be killed by Jezebel if he doesn't get out of there. And he said, Lord, I don't understand, because these people will not turn from the God of Baal unto the true God, you, Lord. And he said, if they don't do it, why should I be here, Lord? I don't understand. I should die. But God told him right here to remember who I am. And in verse 15, he says, go, return thy way, the way that God had showed him. Because in verse 18, we find out God tells Elijah, Elijah, there are over 7,000 in Israel who still bear my name and worship me. And brethren, the moral of the story is God is in control. He didn't forget about Elijah, and Elijah was threatened to be killed and was running away. He didn't forget about his servant, and he's not going to forget about us today. But the question is today I want to give you is, God controls everything. God hears our prayers, and God knows when we're in a state of trouble. But what I want to propose to you today is, brethren, God does care about you, but what have we done to let God know that we need help? You see, do we believe that God can help us? In order for God to help us, we must first believe that he can and will help us. God can help us. Sure he can. Return to Job chapter 23 again with me. Job chapter 23. And go back to verse 8 and 9, and let's remember, Job said he went north to south. He went east to west looking for God, looking for someone to answer all the problems that have occurred in his life. God, where were you? Is what Job said. That's where we left off at in verse 9. But I want you to notice this is the most important part, verses 10 through 14 that was read for us earlier. Because Job says, verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held up his way, or his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many things, and many such things are with him. If you notice, Job had everything happen to him. Job had all this loss, but in verses 10 through 14, he says, I still rely upon God. Job said, after all these things had happened to me, I still put my faith in God. Why? Because he leadeth me, he guideth my steps, and I know exactly where I should go because God is in front of me. Remember, if I walk through the valley of shadow of death, thou art with me. And David had numerous things happen in his life, just as Job did. And brethren, we have numerous things that will happen in our life, but is it our attitude and our trust and belief in God that he can help us? Not only can he help us, but also we have the power of prayer. And I want to ask you today, how much do we pray? I challenged our youth group the other day, two Wednesday nights ago, I challenged them. I said, I want you to pray and double what you've been praying. For example, if you pray 2 to 3 times a day, I want you to double it. Make it 4 to 6 times. If you pray 6 times a day, make it 12. And you will be surprised what will happen. And I'm not just saying just to take time and pray just for a minute or two. I'm talking about earnestly praying to God. If you remember, Daniel had a set time each day he would pray to God. He did the same routine each day to get his mind ready to speak to the God of this creation. And you remember, Daniel, no matter what happened, he was thrown in the lion's den, but he still was going to pray to God, because he knew God was going to take care of him. And that's my plea today for us as well. God is going to take care of us, only if we believe he can take care of us. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15 reads, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that he hath the petitions that we desire of him. Notice in this verse, John says we can ask God about anything. Anything we have on our mind, we can ask it to God. God tells us to tell it to him and let God know the troubles of his children. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7 reads, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Did you notice what Paul said to the Philippians there? He said not to worry, not be anxious, but also look what he says in the last verse. He says, pray to God what's on your mind and what's troubling you. And he says, you will receive the peace that passeth all understanding. Isn't that what we all look for in a time of trouble? The peace and understanding. Because when you have that understanding, you will realize you can find peace. But it's not till you have that understanding of what's going on around you. And brethren, what happens is many people don't realize that God is still in control. We have something happen in our lives and it just shocks us. And we don't know what to do. But God is there. And God realizes that we are in need. And finally, this morning, God can help us if we want help and if we want change. Do you remember Elihu? Elihu comes up to Job, and Job is having some very difficult times. And Elihu comes up to Job and tells him that God's going to take care of you, and God is hearing his plea. Look with me in Job chapter 35. Job chapter 35, verses 8 through 14, and the conversation that takes place between Elihu and Job. Verse 8 says, "Thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man. By reason of the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry, and they cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty. But none saith, where is God, my maker, who giveth songs in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fools of heaven, or the fowls of heaven? Then they cry, but none giveth answer, because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. Although thou sayest, thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is before him. Therefore trust thou in him." And brethren, God cannot help you if you do not put all your trust in him. And God will not help you if we cannot give up the sin that is in our life. God hates sin. God loves the sinner, though. He loves you as a person, but he hates sin. And if we are unwilling to change things in our lives, why would God want to hear our prayers? If we are unwilling to change the sin that's going on with us and unwilling to ask for forgiveness of it, why would God listen to us? Because my God does not put up with sin. He hates it. But he does love you. Remember, Elihu's message to Job was, remember, Job, and restore your faith in God. That's what Elihu told Job. That's what he wanted him to see the whole time. Because remember, Job had all these people come in and said, you're the one that did wrong, Job. You're the one that had all this happen because of your sin. And Elihu told him, restore your faith, Job, and remember the one that created you. John chapter 15, 6 and 7 says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. But if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. God hears the prayers of the righteous one and the one who is following in his footsteps. And brethren, we must be that righteous one. When adversity comes knocking at our door, how will we respond? Will we lose our confidence in God? Or will we lean upon him for understanding and comfort in a time of trouble? Today, there might be people that are going through the same struggle in their life. There might be someone in this audience that is wondering, where are you, God? I haven't seen you. I'm going through troubles. I just don't understand what's happened in my life. But where are you? And I challenge you to pray and remember who God was. Remember Job and remember Elijah. And God showed them who he was, and God is in control. And he knows exactly what's going on in your life, and he wants to help you. But God can only help you if we allow him to help us. There also may be someone in this audience that is searching for answers, someone that knows right and wrong and knows they need to make a change in their life. And if you haven't put on Christ in baptism this morning, I want to tell you it's of the utmost importance. Don't wait another day. Don't go to sleep tonight without knowing that you are saved, without knowing who the Creator is. The invitation is yours this morning, and I invite you to come as we stand and sing. Thank you.